It's Tuesday. This is Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. As the Flint water crisis continues, Michigan officials say they're creating a strategy to determine whether the water is safe to drink. The municipal water supply became contaminated with lead not quite 2 years ago when the system began drawing from the corrosive Flint River. The crisis has sparked support, sometimes international in scale. Last Saturday, hundreds of plumbers and pipe fitters from across the state canvassed the city of Flint to install donated faucets and filters for free. Current State's Kevin Lavery was there and files this report.
It's Saturday morning, and it's my first reporting trip to Flint since the city's water crisis broke like a dam in the wake of one doctor's damning report. Even before I reach the plumbers and pipe fitters' local 370 Union Hall, I can see something big is shaping up. A cadre of Genesee County Sheriff's Patrol vehicles stands guard at the turnoff, their flashing lights guiding me and a stream of 400 volunteers into the parking lot. The circumstances that bring us all here are indeed tragic, and yet I'm struck by a brief moment of levity. Where else would you summon an army of plumbers to fight a lead contamination crisis in Flint? In a small suburb called Flushing. Inside, the place is buzzing. A massive mound of bottled water is stacked to one side. Nearby, local 370's Doug Del Duca inspects long rectangular boxes full of shiny chrome plumbing fixtures.
My fellow brothers are going ahead and they're checking out the faucets and making sure everything's good to go, and they're passing it to the people down the line and trying to keep this show on the road.
Any idea how many boxes you have of equipment?
Hundreds. It's hard to say. My guess would be 500, 600. It's tough to say.
What are you feeling today as you're seeing all your union brethren standing in line, getting ready to hand out all this equipment and install it for people?
Oh, I'm overjoyed. Lots of pride. It's good to see lots of people coming out and trying to help the community today.
The task of installing hundreds of faucets and filters in Flint is orchestrated by Plumbing Manufacturers International, which coordinated the donated parts, and the United Association, the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union, simply known as UA. At 9 a.m., tradesmen from half a dozen Michigan UA locals converge in a meeting room for the day's briefing, and a word of caution from local 370's Ben Ranger.
Well, good morning, everybody. There's one little item that I want to stress. There's a lot of residents out here that are, you know, they're upset, and rightfully so, if you think about it. A lot of them don't understand who you are necessarily. They may misconstrue you for somebody from whoever they think that they blame the situation on, maybe the water department or the state or whatever. I can't stress enough that really our only message today is that we're here to help.
The esprit de corps in the room is palpable, and the symbolism of the moment is not lost. This is to be a humanitarian mission led by a labor union in the city that gave birth to the nation's modern labor movement. Clearly, the crew is looking forward to rendering their service. But Ben Ranger is equally as clear that this temporary fix is by no means a long-term solution.
We're not telling them that it's safe to drink. You can tell them the same thing that everybody else is telling them, that the experts recommended these filters and the state. They're wanting to convert people from bottled water over to these filters. They want them, it's not sustainable to use bottled water all the time. So they want people to use these filters. There's also going to be test kits involved. And what they need to do is you can tell these people to get their water tested. That's what the city and the state has instructed them to do. So after these filters are installed, they still need to have their water tested.
More than anyone, the members of Local 370 know what they're about to see because they're living it. Plumber Marcus Eubanks is raising six children in Flint.
I have 13, 7, 5, 3, 2, and 3-month-old.
You've got your hands full.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Never a dull moment in my house.
How are you coping?
It's not easy, but, you know, we got to maybe do what we have to do to not get so much, you know, affected by it. But yeah, for about maybe a year, a little bit over a year now, we've been drinking bottled water, even bathing our children in them. So, yeah, got to keep them tested and make sure their levels are down. So,
and are they doing okay?
Yes, they're doing quite well. Yeah, they're doing well. Thank God.
Yeah. The crews divide into small groups with their house assignments in hand. I ride along with three men from local 333 based in Lansing, licensed plumber Corey Barrett, journeyman Christian Ben, and apprentice Ryan Sage. As we head out, Barrett tries to voice what all of us are thinking.
These kids are drinking and these people have been drinking, don't even know they've been drinking for this long. It's horrible. It's sad to see what's going to happen.
What do you think is going to happen, Corey, when we walk into the front door?
We're all hoping it's going to be open arms, but I can also understand in a very distressed situation, you're going to have very upset people, and you just try to, you know, ease the situation and try to remind them that we're there to help and it's not our fault. We're just trying to help.
House number one. Four men arrive, but only three perform their work. There's a difference sometimes in how a reporter is welcomed into a home versus a repairman. The lady of the house did not grant me permission to record, which was not unexpected. I must take my team at their word when they tell me they saw filthy water coming from the tap. House number two. I'm welcomed in, and all of us get to work. Jesus and Deborah Rodriguez have lived in this World War II-era ranch house for 7 years. Jesus first noticed the problem with the water 2 years ago while watering his houseplants.
I have a filter, a spray bottle that I use for my plants, and it turned yellow, yellowish green. So I knew there was a problem. So then now I had to buy a machine that I really can't afford to run 5 gallon water jug so I can have water, because going to the fire department, I can't always go there to get water. And then I can't lift water anyways because I have a bad arm. So it's sort of a bad deal, because now I'm going to have to probably save up some money and have somebody put a filter on my main water line coming in, because I don't want to keep taking a shower in here. I don't even give my dog's water from there.
The Rodriguez family is quickly watching their neighborhood depreciate. They love their home, and this is where they thought they would put down roots. I ask Jesus if he's willing to ride this crisis out.
I have to. I can't go. I can't sell my house if I wanted to. My plans, I bought this house to live here, to stay here, to grow up the rest of my life here. My daughter lives two blocks down, so we planned on living in this neighborhood. Now we can't even get out of the neighborhood because no one's going to buy or rent my home.
Then Jesus offers a view that seems to negate the now well-spun narrative of blame.
What is misunderstood about what's happening that's not getting out there in the media, or is being put out there incorrectly in your view?
Well, my view that they're not blaming the city. That's terrible that Flint's this way. And I blame the city, not the damn governor, the city, the mayor, all the councilmen. They're the ones that it's their responsibility. They're the ones that screwed us.
Flint's got a brand new mayor. She inherited this problem.
She inherited the problem, but the problem's still there. The commissioners and the mayor, they're the ones that knew all this was happening. Now look at everybody here in Flint. Now we're nationwide, the dirtiest water ever.
The Lansing plumbers have finished the job. The Rodriguez family has a new water filter in their kitchen, but it's cold comfort.
Well, I'm afraid to drink the water. Even with that thing on there, and I think.
That's why I said I would put that on, run it through there, and take it and have it tested to see what the results
again?
Are.
Again?
Okay.
Before you drink out of it.
All right.
I'm not going to drink out of it.
More homes on our tour, some with small children, some with tap water residue you can see. By 2 o'clock, we're calling on Andrea Jones. She's caring for her elderly mother, whom she notes is holding up pretty well under the circumstances. Our unannounced house call is a pleasant surprise, and so is Andrea's attitude.
Well, it's not a good thing, but then that's life. Life is not a smooth road. This is just a bump in the road that we're going over, and this too will pass. That's it.
You have by far the best attitude of anyone I have interviewed yet about this, Andrea.
Well, you know, it's not that we like it, but if you can't do anything about it, don't worry about it. Ain't no sense of everybody dying. And I don't plan on having a stroke. So I do what I can do, and what I can't do, I don't worry about. Pray about it and move on.
Inspecting the faucet, Corey Barrett comes across a snag.
Whoever installed this, it broke the faucet. It's a brand new faucet.
Really?
Yes, sir. It's leaking unfiltered water around the filter.
Complete overhaul then.
Yep.
Faucet repaired, filter installed, connections are made, mechanical and human.
There you go, dear.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We say goodbye and head back to the Union Hall for more parts. This is where I part company with the men of UA Local 333. In his moment of downtime, Christian Ben reflects on his day in Flint, and it somehow mirrors his own life in Lansing.
I have a special needs son at home. So if I can help, you know, with all these kids and how the sled is affecting kids, I don't know the long outcome on what it's going to do. But if I can help, you know, anybody just with a little bit to not go through some of the stress and things I've went through dealing with brain injury and stuff like that, you know, I'm happy.
So maybe you've seen a little bit of your own child in some of these kids' faces?
Yeah, I have actually. My child, my grandkids. That's what I was looking at. You know, one little girl, I was looking at her, reminding her me of my granddaughter, and I was showing her pictures on my phone and stuff like that. And it was real cool to be out in the community and just helping out.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.